This is the scripture reading for today is Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 to 9. And I'll read it now in English. And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all. And all who could listen with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they made for the purpose, and beside him stood a lot of people. Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatheah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law.
日本語で読みします。ネヘミヤ記8章1節から9節まで。民は皆一斉に水の門の前の広場に集まってきた。そして彼らは主がイスラエルに命じたモーセの律法の書を持ってくるように学者エズラに願った。そこで第7の月の1日目に祭司エズラは男も女も全て聞いて理解できる人たちから
立からなる集団の前に律法を持ってきて、水の門の前の広場で夜明けから真昼まで、男や女で理解できる人たちの前でこれを朗読した。民は皆、律法の書に耳を傾けた。学者エズラは、このために作られた木の台の上に立った。彼のそばには、右手にマッテヤ、シェマアナヤ、ウリア、ヒルキア、マーセヤが立ち、 左手にペダヤ、ミシェル、マルキア、ハシュン、ハシュバダダ、スカイア、メシロンが立った。エズラはすべての民の面前でこの書を開いた。彼はすべての民よりも高いところにいたからである。彼がそれを聞くと、民は皆立ち上がった。エズラが大いなる神、主を褒めたたえると、民は皆手を挙げながら、 アーメン、アーメンと答えてひざまずき、地にひれ伏して主を礼拝した。ヨシュアバにシェラベヤ、ヤミン、アクブシェベタイ、ホディア、マーセア、ケリッタ、アザリア、ヨホザバテ、ハナン、ペラヤなど、レビ人たちは、レビ人たちは、民に律法を解き明かした。その間民はそこに立っていた。彼らが神の律法の書をはっきりと読んで説明したので、 民は読まれたことを理解した。総督であるネヘミヤと祭司である学者であるエズラと民に解き明かすレビ人たちは、民全部に向かって言った。今日はあなた方の神、主の民に聖別された日である。悲しんではならない、泣いてはならない。民が律法の言葉を聞いた時に、皆泣いていたからである。
Thank you, Phil and Junko. It's amazing that God would put these names in the Word, in the Scripture. The eternal Word of God. And back then, it's not like, you know, you could just get as many paper as you want and just write names. It was, if your name was written down, it was quite special. And I want to ask you a question. Is your name written down in God's book? Is your name in the book of life? The Lamb's book of life. It doesn't matter where else your name shows up. If it doesn't show up there, you've wasted your life. If your name doesn't show up in God's book of life, you messed up. Well, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We have so much to look forward to. Juno's baptism, Tome's baptism. But before we celebrate that, Lord, we just want to learn your ways and walk in your truth. We want to know you more, Lord. We thank you so much for today, God. We pray your blessing over this service. We pray your blessing over this day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We pick up the story in Nehemiah chapter 8. And Nehemiah finishes one of his lifelong assignments of rebuilding the wall. He finished rebuilding the wall. And after he finishes rebuilding the wall, the people in Jerusalem can now worship safely. And it's interesting what happens. It says in Nehemiah 8:1, "And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law." I heard one professor say, it's revival oftentimes comes from a grassroots movement. It starts from the people. Not the pastor saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to blah, 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 blah. It's the people stirring, it's something stirring in the hearts of the people where they're hungry for more than what this world has to offer. They want Scripture and they need the Spirit. Today I want to talk about the importance of Scripture and Spirit. Both are essential if we want to encounter God and if we want to catch the wave of what God is doing in our generation. If we want to catch the wave of what God is doing in our generation, it's important to have Scripture and the Spirit. A good sign of the presence of God in our lives is a desire for God's Word. God's Word is a multi-faceted concept. Oftentimes when we think of God's Word, we automatically think of Scripture, which is true. But it's more than just Scripture. God's Word is Him speaking to us. And oftentimes that can come through sacred Scripture, but it can come through many different other forms. Just so I'm not misunderstood, Scripture is the sure Word of God. And if any other word doesn't align with what Scripture is saying, be careful. It probably isn't from God. But a good sign of the presence of God in our lives is the desire of God's Word. When I was 19, Second semester in college, my friend shared the gospel with me, and I believed. I wasn't Christian prior to that. At 19, I don't remember stepping into a worship service. I went to like a youth group thing before, once or twice, but never into a worship service. My friend shared the gospel with me. The Holy Spirit moved my heart. I believed, and I asked Jesus in my heart, in my life. And then he said to me, my friend said to me, if you're a Christian, you have to read at least 3 chapters a day of the Bible. I didn't know any better. And I said, okay. And so every day, I was faithful. I read 3 chapters a day. I don't know whether it was the Bible or because I was reading it so much, but I used to read the New Testament over and over. And in my old Bible, you could tell the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was all worn out. It was a different color than the New Testament. Because I would just read three chapters a day, 3 chapters a day. If you're Christian, you have to read 3 chapters a day. I wish I would have not learned that you didn't need to read 3 chapters a day. Because I'm not as faithful as I used to be in doing that. I'm not as faithful as I used to be. Because, man, it was like 3 chapters a day. Lord, I want to do more. I want to handwrite the Bible. Just in case the second coming comes and all the Bibles are burned, I will have a handwritten Bible with me. And that's just the Lord working in my heart. There was a desire of God's Word. There was a hunger for Scripture. I wanted more. I needed more. And when God begins to move, you too will have a hunger and a thirst for God's Word. It might not necessarily be Scripture, but that is the best place to start. Because let me tell you, you know, some of you will feel like, oh, I want more of God. Man, the thing is going in and out on me, isn't it? I'm not going to play with it. So, you know, you're going to get to a point where you're going to say, I want more of God. And then you're going to open Scripture because you remember Pastor saying, oh, Scripture is important. You're going to open Scripture and it's not going to make any sense and you're going to put it down. Right? I just want to encourage you. But before I finish that thought, but some of you are going to say, I want more of God, I want more of God, and you're going to open up Scripture, and you're going to read Scripture, and you're going to see the words pop out of the pages. And you're going to be like, wow, that's amazing. I never knew that Scripture was so powerful. And some people has that kind of experience, and they share it, and I'm jealous of them, because that's not me. The words of Scripture never popped out at me. It was always a discipline for me. Now, what did happen to me, though, as I was disciplined in reading Scripture, throughout the day, for no reason, no apparent reason, Scripture would come to my mind and come to my heart. And it would make sense. All of a sudden, it would just click. You know, while I was reading it, it didn't make a lot of sense. I didn't know what was going on. But then, all of a sudden, just doing random, normal, everyday things, it would click. And so I want to encourage you, for those of you who open Scripture and say, I don't really get this, just be disciplined. Just be disciplined. Feed that hunger of God with Scripture. Feed your hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the presence of God with Scripture. But let me just say this, though. Scripture is like firewood. Scripture is like charcoal. I'm really looking forward to our hot dogs today. We're going to have hot dogs, and I'm really, for some reason, I'm not a big hot dog guy, but yesterday I bought hot dogs, I bought Nathan's hot dogs. If you don't know, every 4th of July, right, they have a hot dog eating contest, and they use Nathan's hot dog. I bought Nathan's hot dog. I bought Ball Frank, Angus beef hot dogs, because Jonathan told me to get those, and I got Hebrews. Kosher hot dogs. And I'm really excited for hot dogs. Unfortunately, I have propane. A grill. I have a propane grill. And we're not using charcoal. However, scripture is like charcoal. By itself, it really is no use. In fact, by itself, it's messy. It's high maintenance, and it could get, you know, it could get you in a lot of mess. Scripture by itself is like firewood. It's dead, it's dry, it's just there. But you need charcoal and you need firewood for when the fire of God comes and the oil of God comes. The anointing of God comes, there's something there to burn. And if you don't have firewood, and if you don't have charcoal, you're going to feel the presence of God, the fire of God, for just a bit, and it's going to die. Because it has nothing to burn on. That's why you need charcoal. That's why you need firewood. That's why we need discipline in reading the Word of God. I know, by itself, for some of us, it's like dead wood. It's like, what is this for? Why am I piling this up for? But when the fire of God comes, when the anointing of God comes, there is something to burn. There is something there to burn. In Nehemiah, the people came. Nehemiah finished the great work of rebuilding the temple, or rebuilding the walls. And the people came to Ezra. The people came to Nehemiah and said, we need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. Bring the book of Moses out, the law of Moses out, and read that to us. It's important that we have a craving for the word of God. If there is no craving there, whet the appetite. If there is no craving, whet that appetite. What do I mean by that? You know, how many of you guys eat breakfast regularly?
I used to, but I really haven't.
Really? Some of you guys don't eat. I used to not eat breakfast. I used to skip breakfast. But these days, I eat breakfast regularly. It's supposedly it's healthier, right? It's better for your body. If you don't eat breakfast for a long time, you won't have a craving for breakfast. You'll wake up and you won't be hungry, right? Those of you who don't eat breakfast, you're not hungry in the morning, right? That's probably why you don't eat breakfast. When you start eating breakfast, though, for some reason, when you wake up, you want breakfast. The thing is, when you wake up, and sometimes I wake up, I'm not hungry, and I eat, and I start eating breakfast, and my hunger is reawakened. It goes out of that fasting stage. My body does. For some of you spiritually, you are spiritually fasting, and it's not doing you any good. You need to reawaken the spirit by whetting the appetite. It's not. I know there's no desire for the word of God. But just begin to whet that appetite, and then your spirit's going to be like, "Yes, I want more. I need more. Give me more. I need to grow. I need to grow spiritually." The craving for the word of God. If you don't have it now, you need to awaken that in your life. You need to awaken that. You don't know what you're missing out on. And you don't know what you will miss out on if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't know what you're missing out on now. You know, Wayne, he comes up here and he preaches better than I preach. You do, Wayne. Whenever you do your offering, you're just like, you're up here and you're preaching the Word of God, even though you're just doing an offering. And man, you say things that are more challenging than I say. Because you hit a lot of people's sensitive nerves, right? You can talk about morality, you could talk about spiritual hunger. Don't talk about my money, though. Leave my money out of this. Wayne goes straight after the money. And I get uncomfortable there sometimes, Wayne. I gotta be honest, I get uncomfortable. I start squirming, I'm like, oh man, this is, oh. Not because I don't give, it's just, I'm like, how are these people gonna take it, you know? But they need to hear that. It's true. And I kind of get uncomfortable when you start talking about prosperity too, because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, they might get all the wrong ideas and kind of thing. But it's true. Let me tell you, it's true. God wants you to prosper. He does. In fact, in heaven, you'll be made. And God says, hey, I want you to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm not just simply talking about money. But in all, you know, Wayne was saying, in all areas of your life, in every area of your life, God wants you to prosper. Unfortunately, we will all fall short here on earth. So we won't 100% prosper in our relationship. We won't infinitely prosper in our finances. We won't infinitely prosper in our health. We won't infinitely prosper in whatever area, you know, you may not be prospering in. You may be falling short in. But the amazing, amazing promise is this. When this life passes, and we don't have to struggle with the consequences of sin, you will infinitely prosper in all areas of your life. In all areas of your life. Praise God. I can't wait for that day. That I infinitely prosper physically, financially, relationally. Some of you guys are closer to that than I am. And I wish I was closer. Amen. But there's a craving of God's Word. If you don't have it, I whet that appetite. And it's important. The goal is to grow. The goal is to grow together. You know, Phil was giving me these looks as he was naming, reading all these names. Sorry, Phil.
Well, but at least you didn't do the rest of chapter 7.
Yeah. I was going to put ellipses. Did I say that right? Ellipses. I was going to put ellipses, and ellipses are those three dots, and I was going to leave the names out. But I said, no. Phil is probably going to read, and I want to give Phil a hard time. But I said, no, I shouldn't leave these people out. And I shouldn't leave these people out because, if we could turn to the next slide, I shouldn't leave these people out because they're in the Word of God. Now, I don't really know why they're in the Word of God. But I do know this, that it wasn't just Nehemiah even though it was his book, the book's named after him. But it was all these other people: Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabithai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kilita, Azariah, Jozabab, Hanan, you know, and all these, Pelia. All of them played a role, and there's more names. And they all played a role to grow together. They all came together, and they grew together. It's important that we grow together. I know sometimes, and this is just from my own personal experience, but you know, sometimes when I'm on fire for God and I'm just growing spiritually, I feel like I could do it on my own. In fact, I feel like it's easier if I do it on my own. In fact, there's this pride of, well, I don't really need anyone else. I don't really need to listen to anyone else. I have the Bible, and I have the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. There needs to be unity and genuine growth in community. Authentic growth only comes in community. Unless God calls you out like John the Baptist. And even then, John the Baptist had disciples. He had people around him. As we begin to, I feel like, you know, and I'm sharing, as I'm sharing this, I feel like there's going to be a move of God soon. I feel there is going to be a response to injustice with the move of God. I feel like there's going to be a response to wars and rumors of wars with the move of God. I feel like there's going to be a response to natural disaster with the move of God. And when that move of God comes, begin to read scripture. Start now. Start now as the fire comes. As the move of God comes, and as you begin to grow spiritually, stay connected in community. Remember, growing together is so important. When you get out of community, it's like a charcoal that's by itself. It's like that firewood that goes by itself. Sure, it will burn, but soon enough, it'll go out. Soon enough, it'll go out. The goal here is to grow together. And the goal is not only just to grow together, but to work together. It goes on in Nehemiah 8:4. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose for him to preach. And beside him stood Matthias, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, and it goes on, Zechariah, Meshulam. And all these people were there to help the move of God, to work together. See, it's interesting. I thought it was interesting that we're reading the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah finishes one of his greatest works. He finishes one of his life goals, his assignment in life, and all of a sudden, his name isn't mentioned. All these other people's names are mentioned. Ezra is the one at the podium preaching. You would think after such a great accomplishment, it would be Nehemiah coming to the pulpit to preach, but Nehemiah steps down and says, no, that's not my job. That's not where I'm gifted. That's not where I'm called. That's not where my anointing is. Ezra, you take the podium. You take us home. You take us to church. And Ezra comes And he begins to preach, and these other men that are mentioned are there to help. And then the Levites go out and they teach what they heard. Praise God. I want you to know that you, being part of JCCT, are an essential part of the move of God here.
Amen.
It's not just me. It can't be just me. I'm not talented enough. I'm not anointed enough. I'm not good enough. Obviously. Understatement. Yes, I know. You are an essential part of our growth. We need to work together. A good place to start is, if you have that feeling, why can't they do this better? I can do it better. That's a good place to start. I could, why is this so blank? Well, if you're so gifted in it, step up. Speak the truth in love. Come to me and say, hey, I think I could do this better. I'll bless you. I'll say yes. Yes, please. Do it better. Help us grow together. If you're going to do this, here's a good way of doing it. Hey, Aki, you're doing a great job. I noticed something that, you know, I prayed about, and what do you think about this? That's a good way to do it. Okay? You guys want to hear that again? Hey, Aki, you're doing a great job. I think you could do this better. I prayed about it. What do you think? Great way. And do it to me one-on-one. Don't do it during, you know, group meeting or when other people are around. And you don't have to cut me down. I already have enough low self-esteem. I don't need you guys cutting me down, okay? You can just do it privately, one-on-one. Hey, I think, you know what that shows? Maybe you're gifted in that area. Maybe you're anointed in that area. And we definitely need you to step up in that area. That's what that means. So don't get upset. Be glad. Be happy. Oh, this is where I fit. This is where I could grow. This is where I could help us grow. Amen. I wanted to talk about Scripture and Spirit because, again, Scripture, reading Scripture, getting into the Word of God, when it comes to Scripture, it is like, again, gathering firewood. It's like coals. It doesn't do much without the fire of God burning it. The anointing of God burning it. Going on a little bunny trail. I used to love burning coals. They were, you know, coals by itself, not so much. Burning coals, oh, they were amazing, right? Especially if you crack it open and they pop open and it's like embers in the middle. I used to love that. The fire of God. I still love that. You guys are like coals. We are all like coals. And we need the fire of God to burn in our life. And what I mean by Spirit-led, it says in verse 9, it was interesting, you know. They did a natural response to the Word of God. The Word of God came, and they realized their life wasn't aligning to the Word of God. And so their natural response was, to mourn, to cry, to weep. But it says here, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribes, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, hold up. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. That's an interesting response. A very interesting response. Because the natural response of hearing the word of God and seeing my life isn't aligning to the word of God and I'm falling so short of the word of God is to mourn and weep. But the Spirit told, I believe the Spirit told Nehemiah, Ezra, and the rest of the leaders, no, not just yet. Delay the mourning and weeping and make that into dancing and rejoicing. This is a holy time. This is a holy moment. And I want you to rejoice. It's interesting how many times we get the word of the Lord confused and mixed up. Because he still speaks in parables. He still speaks in riddles. And only with the help of the Holy Spirit can we understand the timing and the accuracy of what he's trying to say, of what he's trying to teach us, what he's trying to tell us. And it's so important that as you begin to read scripture, as you get into the Word of God, that you are Spirit-led, that you allow the Holy Spirit to interpret what you read. That what you read, that life is breathed through by the Holy Spirit. So that what you read is life-giving words. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We praise you, Lord. You who created the heavens and the earth. You who has promised a new heaven and a new earth. You who remember each and every one of us. You who write names down in the book of life, we pray, Lord, that we will be found worthy and that our names will be written. Father, that we would come to know you and live our lives for your glory here on earth. We thank you so much, Father, for all that you have done. We praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.